Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I used to be the host of this show.
A new hire.
But I went on strike, and I got a renegotiated contract. So now they're paying me. No, I'm paying them. I'm just kidding.
You're a tough negotiator.
I'm not like Donald Trump. Okay, whatever you want me to do. That's my negotiating skills right there. No, been gone for two. Well, I've been gone for about 10 days to the Holy Land with a lot of our with 88 of my closest friends. Went with me and my wife Allison. We had a wonderful time. Any fond memories from our trip to Israel? Just you've been, Ed, and
I have been.
Walker's been. Mm-hmm. Have you been, Fred, yet?
A couple of times
to Israel. Well, you know how special it is.
It is, and that saying, I guess I think the Israeli tourism ministry still has it. You'll never be the same.
Right.
And it's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. You'll never be the same.
So if you get an opportunity and you have the money, of course, you got to have the money to have the opportunity to go to Israel to see the Holy Land. Put that on your bucket list. Don't let anybody tell you, don't go, it's not safe.
No.
Well, then just stay in your house the rest of your life then. Because where in the world is safe anymore completely, right?
And don't go to Chicago.
True. Don't go to Chicago. The Holy Land, Israel, is as secure as any place in the world, and they do a great job because they have to. Their survival depends on it. But it was a wonderful trip, and the Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we'll be going in March of 2018. We go once a year to Israel, and that's in March. So we'd love to have you come with us next year or the year after, whenever you can. Join us for one of our tours of the Holy Land. I'm Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano and Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. Walker, what do we got going on our Facebook page today?
Well, we are participating in Facebook Live.
We are?
Yes.
Participating?
We are utilizing Facebook Live, which means that you can watch the show and listen to the show at the same time on our Today's Issues Facebook page. We do this Monday through Friday. Each weekday here on AFR on Today's Issues. And also, once we get into these stories that Fred's going to mention from OneNewsNow.com, I'll be posting each of those stories to our Facebook page.
By the way, that video of me riding the camel over there in Israel, that was just intended for a few people here at the office. I didn't even send it out. I don't know if my wife did. Somebody sent it out, and now it's going viral. And it's got me riding the camel over there.
Well, you know what they say. They say if you don't want something going viral, don't take a picture of it or don't take video.
Evidently, what happens in Jericho doesn't stay in Jericho. Because my camel riding minute there went all over the place. I'm getting a lot of comments about it.
They're still doing that, are they?
Huh?
What is it, $5? Get up and get your picture taken?
It was $5. It was probably a minute. That guy made bank. That little Arab boy.
I wonder what percentage the camel got of the
$5. Well, he told me. I asked about this. Said the camel cost $5,000. So I'm thinking
that's a lot of rides.
The guys, that's a lot of rides. But after you
pay it off,
you can make some money.
It's like paying off your car loan.
It's a gift that keeps on giving, right?
I know. Yeah. I'm just thinking that these guys, they pretend to be poor. And, the poor little camel boy. I'm thinking at the end of the day, he goes and puts his camel in the barn and drives off in his Mercedes.
Capitalism at its finest.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So, anyway, what's in the news, Fred Jackson?
Oh, there's nothing. Another quiet Monday.
You mean President Trump didn't tweet this morning?
Oh, no. Saying that. Okay. He wakes up with that in his hand.
Gets his sausage McMuffin and starts tweeting.
Let's start tweeting. No, right now, a couple of things happening in Washington, big news today. One is a hearing, a House hearing, into the whole allegations of surveillance going on with regards to coordination between Russia and associates of President Donald Trump. In fact, The lead witness this morning is FBI Director James Comey. He started off by confirming that the Bureau is investigating possible links and coordination between Russia and associates of President Donald Trump as part of a broader probe of Russian interference in last year's presidential election. So that's the way things started off this morning, but there are many other questions right away. Director Comey was asked about what the various laws say about people who disseminate information from these investigations. There are very, very strict laws against this kind of thing. And this goes to how we found out about contact between General Flynn and the Russians. And that's another part of this probe. How did this information of this ongoing investigation get released to the public? Because there have been, I think, at least 9 incidents of anonymous sources giving information to people like the New York Times and other news outlets. So that's a big part of this. How is this information getting out? And then, of course, we've had the allegation from President Trump that he was wiretapped, Trump Towers wiretapped. And so, you know,
by the Obama administration.
By the Obama administration. Now, it has come down to, at this point, about, okay, define wiretap. Wiretap is an old word that's used, you know, for surveillance. And what one of the members of the committee, who is Representative Devin Nunes, California Republican, all right, not wiretapping, but he reminds people there are other forms of surveillance of Trump and his associates which have not been ruled out. We're still at that point. So, and President Trump, as late as last week, keeps saying, I'm going to have more information on this. All right, so not wiretapping, not actually inserting a wire in somewhere, but we all know today our telephone conversations can be monitored in various ways, your cell phone conversation, whatever the case may be. We are living in that kind of age where there's almost no privacy anymore.
Right.
We've talked about that many times. So that is one thing going on today. Just down the hallway, not too far away at least, is the opening hearing today. President Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, Judge Neil Gorsuch. And what we're going to hear today in that hearing is opening statements from Republicans, from Democrats, and from the candidate himself, Judge Gorsuch. The actual questioning of Gorsuch will begin tomorrow. So that's what we have starting off on a Monday morning in Washington, D.C.
And any idea, Fred, on how long the Gorsuch hearings could go? I mean, the Democrats, at the initiation of the Trump administration, when after he was inaugurated, said, listen, our strategy is going to be we're just going to delay. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have hearings on this. We're going to have hearings on every little thing to try to prevent Trump from getting anything done. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the questions I have is, first of all, how what their intentions are, but then what Republicans intend to do to make this a fair hearing. I mean, you want to have whatever you need, you know, several days, but you can't allow weeks of hearings for Gorsuch because there are issues like the President Trump's travel ban that has been, you know, given the kibosh by a lone rogue judge in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. A couple other lone judges are trying to do the same thing, have done the same thing. But that case may go to the Supreme Court. You want to have Antonin Scalia's replacement on the bench if that goes before the high court.
Well, to answer your question of how long it might go, I think the Republicans will allow the Democrats their time on TV to ask their questions, et cetera, et cetera. I think it comes back to the strategy, and we've talked about this before. This is the first nominee from President Trump to the Supreme Court. If Gorsuch is approved, then he is really replacing Scalia, who was very conservative. There are some who say, okay, the Democrats are going to let this one go, but then fight really hard on the next one. It's kind of interesting, and this is from the Associated Press this morning. I'm going to read what they're saying. You know, liberal news media, this is what they're saying about Judge Gorsuch. Judge Neil Gorsuch, 49, is a respected, highly credentialed, and conservative member of the Denver-based 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. His nomination has been cheered by Republicans and praised by some left-leaning legal scholars. And Democrats head into the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings on Monday divided over how hard to fight him. All right. He is very much respected, and as the AP has noted here, even some left-leaning analysts of the court say this is probably a man who would be good for the courts. He's very fair. He rules according to what the laws say and not what he thinks mm-hmm. or feels about things. And so my speculation could be totally wrong. My speculation is he'll get some tough questions from the Democrats, but I don't think they're going to fight this as vehemently as they might the next, because the next nominee that comes along, whoever he or she may replace on the court, is really going to set a balanced difference.
Well, because you have two liberals, and if you count Anthony Kennedy as being a centrist, you have three who are in their 80s.
Yes.
Right? So you have—
Ginsburg just had her 84th birthday last
right.
week.
And I think is Stephen Breyer in his 80s?
81, I think.
Okay. Wow. So though, if you're talking about just the—
They're beyond AARP.
That's right.
I don't know what other letter you add to that, but these guys and ladies, they're—
They've been on the bench a long time.
Well, they're invited to the knitting class,
right?
Okay, and chess and checkers.
Okay. Now replacing them with a conservative, that would be a political bloodbath.
To try to answer your question, Ed, about the timeline, I spoke to someone familiar with it a couple of weeks ago, and they said that the Senate has set aside this entire week, mm-hmm. so five days, Monday through Friday. Today is essentially opening statements, which are individuals in support of Judge Gorsuch who will kind of vouch for his character. Then tomorrow he'll be officially, you know, making statements, answering questions, and that'll probably go all the way until Friday. So hopefully, maybe in the next coming weeks, you'll have an actual vote.
Yeah, and I think what we're anxious to see is if required, whether the Republicans will use the nuclear option on this
right.
one.
Mm-hmm. 51 getting 51 votes.
Yeah, I don't think there is any way that eight Democrats are going to come over and join the 52 Republicans and vote for Gorsuch. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Well,
I think,
to me, that is pure politics.
Yeah.
Because this is a qualified individual. Mm-hmm. The president has the right, since President Trump won the presidency, he won the election. He has the right to nominate whomever he wants, as long as they're qualified, I think. And if the Democrats want to play politics with Gorsuch, then I think Republicans should play politics with a replacement for Ginsburg or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's the way they want to play it, this is just ideological,
well,
fine, then we go nuclear if we need to replace one of the 80-year-olds on the court.
It's also about who's in charge of the rules. You know, Republicans have the majority in the Senate. They're in charge of the rules. If Democrats when Democrats were in charge of the rules— You know, they did whatever they wanted as far mm-hmm. as nuclear option, et cetera. So it's really about who's in control.
Has Jeff Sessions, he's not been replaced, has he, in the Senate? Jeff Sessions?
No.
Now that should happen immediately. Because,
the governor actually, yes, that's think, true. The governor appointed, was it the Attorney General of Alabama or Assistant Attorney
so.
General
yeah.
of Alabama, who will fill
fill
that
out his term.
Fill out that term.
Okay.
And then
so he does, his replacement is in the Senate.
Yes, yes.
Prepared to vote.
Yes. Yes.
The other thing, we're talking about the Supreme Court nominee, Judge
Neil Gorsuch.
Neil Gorsuch, who's been put up by President Trump to be the next Supreme Court justice to replace Antonin Scalia. Very, very, very important reason why many Christians voted for him.
Right.
President Trump. That may be the number one reason why many Christians voted for President Trump when he was candidate Trump was for the Supreme Court. I think it was number one reason.
Yeah.
He has selected, has President Trump, he has selected someone who's considered a five-star conservative, constitutionalist, originalist, however you want to put it, someone who believes interpreting the law and the Constitution rather than making up the law based on how they feel about it, like mm-hmm. this fellow out in this federal judge, for example, out in Hawaii, who has struck down temporarily, at least, President Trump's travel ban, temporary travel ban. The guy This is just to give you a teaching. It's just a teaching moment here on this, on what we're talking about. This federal judge out in Hawaii, what's his name? Wilson or
Watson?
Derek Watson.
Okay, he struck down President Trump's constitutional, by the way, temporary travel ban on from six or seven different countries. I've forgotten anyway.
Six
different countries, and this federal judge said, "You know what? You got religious animus in your heart." President Trump and so I'm overruling you on this one. I'm going to say that you can't do this as president. You can't have this kind of a travel ban. You can't deal with immigration. I'll deal with it. I'm the judge. That's basically what he said. No, he did say religious animus. This represents religious animus. Well, this is a prime example of what we're talking about here, folks. This judge has no authority constitutionally over immigration. It's reserved completely to the president of the United States. Statutorily and constitutionally, this is a matter for the president. If the president of the United States does not have authority over who comes into this country or not, ultimately, then we have nobody that can stop anybody from coming in here for any reason. It's totally up to, because you go, some judge can decide.
Right.
And so this judge has overstepped his bounds. This is my point. Quite frankly, should be removed from his bench or censured by the, what's the law?
Impeached?
Well, that's a possibility.
Yeah, the House can bring up articles of impeachment.
I think somebody needs to, I know that the president and his legal team have, I'm assuming through the Attorney General Jeff Sessions' office, has vowed to fight this, this ruling. But this is an example of what you get with a runaway liberal, progressive ideology.
Yeah. Another interesting thing
because
you can do.
Because this fellow just put a cap cross on this T.
Yeah.
This fella, this judge, is using his own personal feelings about this issue. In other words, he feels like what President Trump has done is immoral. Therefore, I'm going to strike it down. Not whether or not it is constitutional for the president to do this or not, regardless of how I personally feel about it, he's decided his personal feelings will rule the day. That's my point. Go ahead.
Another interesting thing that most people don't know is these courts across the country, all federal courts and the district courts, are all created by Congress, I believe.
True.
And so they, if you can create something, it also gives you the power, you know, to recreate it or to just take it away. And so I know that's a far stretch, but if you can create a court, you can also take it away. Yeah. And that's what they talked about doing in the Ninth Circuit, is redistricting it to where they don't have so many states under their control.
If the Justice Department, if President Trump and his Justice Department lose on this, they need to consider lose on this issue of immigration, whether whether a federal judge is going to be the king, so to speak, or the president, the duly elected president, is going to be the king. If they lose on this, there needs to be some effort to impeach this judge or something beyond just taking it.
Right.
Okay. And saying, well, it's the law of the land. No. It's time, Ed, that we come up with a better answer than that.
Well, there are constitutional mechanisms
in place
for Congress or the president to balance, to check the judiciary if it goes overboard. And impeachment is the way you do that. You just basically, you know, you just say, listen, this judge did not. I mean, he issued a 43-page statement, his 43-page ruling, 2 hours after this case was argued in court. We're talking about a footnoted 43-page ruling, 2 hours after arguments were presented before him. This is corrupt. Yeah. This judge decided this issue ahead of time. I think the judge should be pulled before whatever panel the House Republicans or the House decides to put together to decide whether to impeach him, and they need to ask this judge, how did you write a 43-page opinion in 2 hours? So you decided it before you heard it. We're going to impeach you.
Yeah.
That's what they ought to do.
Something like that, there needs to be consequences.
Right.
If there's not, then—
That's clear corruption.
Yeah. I mean, you're saying this federal judge had his decision written and released it 2 hours after President Trump's announced his...
No, 2 hours after it was the case arguments. Was heard. Okay, arguments yeah. were made in before his court.
Oh, my word.
It was made. Yeah, the arguments were made on, when was it, last Wednesday afternoon, I think it was. And by the time President Trump opened his rally in Nashville,
The judge had already ruled.
And issued his ruling.
It's a 43-page ruling.
You talk about having your mind made up.
Yes.
Before the
to me, that's corruption.
Well,
I agree, and he ought to be impeached.
Yeah. Well, and to the point also, he used the same reasons as in the first decision. Right. Remember, and the modified order, executive order from Trump, dealt with the other criticisms from the Washington court and from the Ninth Circuit. All of that was dealt with. But here it goes back to the claim is. Because all six of these countries are Muslim countries, that President Trump has something against Muslims.
Muslim-majority countries.
Need we remind people that this travel ban does not apply to Indonesia, which has the largest Muslim population in the world?
Egypt? Turkey?
Egypt.
Yeah, Malaysia, Turkey. Saudi Arabia, I mean,
Jordan. All of those countries.
It's not anti-Muslim. That doesn't stand up. It just so happens that the terrorists come from a majority Muslim countries.
Right.
That's just a fact of life, you know. And so this is another reason why it's important that President Trump follows through. And I think he will. Thus far, we've got good indications. Follows through with his appointments to the Supreme Court. And to the federal court below the Supreme Court, judges that respect the law, the rule of law, and the Constitution. And Neil Gorsuch, the Supreme Court nominee, now, is he going to have public hearings this week, Walker?
Yes, he's on the Hill
tonight,
now.
Today?
Yes, sir.
You know, I don't mean to sound sarcastic about this situation, but we can go ahead and vote. Senate can go ahead and vote. Everybody knows how they're going to vote.
It's right all going to be along party lines.
It's perfunctory. It's ceremonial. It's everybody. Right. It's going to be along party lines for the most part. Everybody knows he's going to. You can vote today and save everybody's time. I guess they want him to go on the record about everything. You're listening to Today's Issues. Walker, where can people check us out on the Facebook page?
They go to Today's Issues on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, go to the search bar and type in Today's Issues. You'll find our page there. I just posted a One News Now article about Judge Neil Gorsuch being on the Hill today for hearings.
And you can watch the show live there if you want to. So that's this is a big deal for many of the millions of Christians who voted for President Trump. They may have had reservations about his past. A lot of Christians did for good reason. But in the end, they said, you know, I got to pick between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. There's not much of a choice there. You know, because we know that Hillary Clinton will appoint far, far left liberal pro-abortion judges. And we know that Donald Trump has committed to appoint constitutional respecting pro-life judges. So that's one of the top reasons why Christians decided to vote for President Trump. And he knows that. He knows that. President Trump knows that he won in large part because the Christian community voted for him overwhelmingly, I think 80-20 in the presidential election. We're going to take a timeout. Jeremy Wiggins is in the green room. We have it's not really green, though. We need to probably paint that room in there. what color is that?
That's some kind of, is that mauve?
It's like a gray.
Is it mauve? Ed.
I'm not even sure what mauve is.
That sounds fancy.
I know. I'm impressed mauve. With Ed's.
Well, I am a fancy guy.
I don't know you're an interior designer.
I'm not a fancy pants, but I can be fancy when called upon.
Ed, he schooled us on colors. He pulled out mauve. Walker didn't even, I don't even know what that is. We'll be back momentarily. Okay.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Mississippi Congressman Greg Harper regarding the American Health Care Act.
We need preventive medicine, not defensive medicine. I want healthcare decisions to be between you and your doctor, not some Washington government bureaucrat.
Newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl will also be in with analysis of the news. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University. University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. An ugly scene unfolded outside Jefferson Middle School Academy in Washington, D.C. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos was blocked from entering the school by a screaming protester. Secretary DeVos is white, the protester black. Video of the encounter was posted on Twitter, and this is what it sounded like.
She does not represent anything that they stand for.
Secretary DeVos was chased away by other protesters before finally gaining entry into the school, a public school. She released a statement affirming the right to peacefully protest, but said she would not be deterred in her mission, and said no school door in America will be blocked from those seeking to help our school children. What a sad state of affairs in our nation. A black woman blocking a white woman from entering a schoolhouse door. So much for a post-racial America. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We appreciate you listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You can listen on the radio, many as you are. You can go to our website and listen live there anywhere in the world at afr.net, American Family Radio. AFR.net, or we have an app you can download for your smartphone or other mobile device, like an iPad, for example, and listen anywhere in the world. It takes you 60 seconds to download the app for American Family Radio, and then you can listen clear as a bell anywhere you go.
For a lifetime worth of good listening.
Right.
60 seconds, all you have to invest.
All you have to invest. And just get American Family Radio on your phone or your iPad and listen to AFR, clear as a bell, as they say. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Before we leave this issue of this federal judge out in Hawaii who issued his decision to strike down the president's temporary travel ban and having to do with immigration, as Ed said, this judge had his decision already written, had to have it already written, before the case was even argued in his court, which does beg the question of corruption. Is Ed, you've called it.
It's corrupt.
It's corrupt. It's
a corrupt. Judge is supposed to listen to the arguments,
right,
and make up his or her mind depending on the legal arguments used.
Let me tell you what I would do if I were President Trump, and I'm reacting viscerally. That is a great word, isn't it?
It is great. Almost as great as mauve.
I'm not reacting mauve. I'm reacting viscerally here. But I'm telling you, this is what I would consider doing if I were the president.
with this judge, I would consider saying, okay, I can't stop refugees or immigrants from coming in here from these dangerous countries. Guess where I'm putting them?
Hawaii.
I'm putting them in Honolulu.
Yeah.
We're going to just get ready out there, Hawaii, because they're coming your way.
Hey, now that's plane not a bad
idea. Plane after plane of them.
Yeah.
And you can deal with it, just like President Obama did. Remember, he just dumped them. He just dumped these people all over the country and said, deal with it. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the states almost had no rights. Or the communities had no rights.
And they're going in this judge's neighborhood.
Yeah. I would say, if I were President Trump, I'd say, okay, then, while we're arguing this case, we're going to ship all the ones who are coming here illegally from these countries, we're going to put them in Hawaii. The refugees. We're going to keep our refugee program open.
I'd like to volunteer to go to Hawaii, Tim, and interview
monitor
this judge.
Monitor this program? Oh, interview this judge?
Interview this judge. I'll do that. I will take the time to go to Hawaii.
What do you, in all seriousness, though, then it would change. If the governor of Hawaii said, well, now we got to get ready for 10,000 new refugees to be settled in our state, I don't think they'd go for that. Some reason, I don't think they'd go for that.
Your idea has already been endorsed by Todd Stearns.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't that my idea. I didn't get that from Todd Stearns. By the way, that just came from my brain alone.
Well, you and Todd Stearns share thinking.
Wow.
Well, that's I don't know who.
I'm not going to say
who that disappoints more.
I'm not going to say great minds think alike because that would seem braggadocious, but. We're all thinking it, aren't we?
Let somebody else say it.
Yeah. I'll let somebody else say it. All right, Fred, one other news story, and then we need to get to Jeremy Mob Wiggins.
There you go. Donna Brazile. You've seen her on TV many times.
Not a country.
Not a country. Last year, former interim Democratic National Committee chair. She replaced a congresswoman from Florida who is the head of the DNC.
Wasserman Schultz.
Right. Wasserman Schultz had to be replaced because it was revealed she favored Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders.
Right.
All right. Now, during the course of the debates last year, you'll remember, between Hillary Clinton and candidate Donald Trump, there were reports that Donna Brazile, who was supposed to be neutral in all of this, was feeding the questions that were going to be asked at the debate, to Hillary Clinton at the time. And we're going to play a clip. Donna Brazile was interviewed by Megyn Kelly, who used to work at Fox News, and she was challenged. You're being accused of feeding questions to Hillary Clinton. And this is how Donna Brazile replied at that time.
WikiLeaks released a March 12th Podesta email showing you messaging the Clinton campaign with the exact wording of a question asked at the March 13th CNN TV One town hall debate. Where did you get it?
As a Christian woman, I understand persecution, but I will not sit here and be persecuted because your information is totally false. Podesta's emails were stolen. You're so interested in talking about stolen
material. So you deny it.
You're like a thief that want to bring into the night the things that you found that was in the gutter.
I saw that interview, by the way, that one you just heard. What she just did there was she said she's a Christian woman who's being persecuted.
Right.
When now it turns out that she's having to acknowledge what Megyn Kelly was saying was true. And that she had lied, Donna Brazile, about the whole situation, right?
Okay, right in that clip. As a Christian woman, I will not sit here and be persecuted.
Right.
Your information, Megyn Kelly, is totally false. Apparently not. Because now Donna Brazile has come out and confessed that, indeed, she fed questions to the Hillary Clinton camp in advance of the debate.
And this is favoring Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders in a primary situation. This wasn't the general election.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you're Bernie Sanders people, you've got to go, wow, we knew that the Democrat establishment was against us, but this is completely organized. I mean, first of all,
Deborah Wasserman Schultz.
Deborah Wasserman Schultz and then Donna Brazile. both at the time top of the Democratic Party, and they're both in cahoots with Hillary Clinton against Bernie Sanders. And so Bernie Sanders has got to be, you know, he had a lot of momentum. He had a lot of people with him. A lot of people think he could have won. Had this kind of, you know, funny business.
Probably would have won had the superdelegates in the Democratic Party, which amounted to almost 1,000, I think, pretty close. If they hadn't already committed to Hillary Clinton, he would have probably come up just short, or might have actually won. But as some of the Bernie Sanders supporters, I'm sure what they were thinking, the fix was in. And this is proof. Donna Brazile admitting to passing along at least one question. And you know what? The thing is, we wouldn't have known that if it hadn't been for the WikiLeaks thing.
Right. Right.
That's the only way we knew that.
But you know, the way that she said that I'm a Christian woman and I'm being persecuted, I will not stand by and be persecuted like this. All the while she knew what Megyn Kelly was saying was true. Pull the Christian persecution card.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Did Donna Brazile have to resign? Did she resign, Walker, as the top of the—
Well, she doesn't head the DNC anymore.
She stepped down.
She was the interim chair.
Okay, well, who's the—
They had a new election.
Who's the new chairman?
I forgot his name, but they had it. It was an election in Atlanta a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's when Keith Ellison was—
Oh, that's right.
It was
he's the deputy chair now.
He's deputy chair. Yeah.
Keith Ellison, the Muslim
From Minnesota.
Minnesota. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Jeremy Wiggins is in studio with us for his Monday morning visit. Our only charge to Jeremy when he comes in here is make it very interesting and have some meat and potatoes to your content. So, Jeremy, the challenge is there.
I don't know about meat and potatoes, but we might be able to wrangle a Happy Meal out of some of this.
President Trump's big on the McDonald's, isn't he?
Yeah,
He is. Do you know, did y'all see the tweet that came out from McDonald's?
What was that about?
Apparently someone, and I'm using the big air quotes for those on Facebook, and you can't see it at home because you're on the radio, but they were hacked, which everybody's hacked these days. But apparently McDonald's was hacked and called President Trump a disgusting human being.
It wasn't even McDonald's officials doing this. Somebody hacked their tweet.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting is, you know who took over as like the executive vice president of the North American operations or something? Some nice long expensive title. Robert Gibbs, former press secretary for Barack Obama, is now one of the huge big elites over at McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
I find it odd that all of the sudden their account's hacked and it happens to be a critical towards the president. I mean, out of all the things that they could have done with the hacked
I saw him present. It was a picture of President Trump on Air Force One eating a Happy Meal or eating a Big Mac or something.
And he shares a lot. Apparently, I didn't know this, he shares a lot of McDonald's photos. He always has, apparently. This is not something new, just photos of him eating McDonald's. I guess he just really likes McDonald's.
Well, you know, it's the healthy diet for a 70-year-old man. let's be honest here. If you can't get energy out of fries and a Big Mac, then I don't know what can help you.
Well, listen,
and that energy will sustain him well into his 80s because it'll still be in his system.
Hey,
the schedule he was on.
I know. It lends itself to fast food. And by the way, I'm not against McDonald's. I'm just saying that typically you would not advise that for a 70-year-old man to eat fast food all the time.
Right.
But he does.
He likes it.
He's a great advertisement for McDonald's. Tell me President Trump did not respond to the fake—
No, I had not seen any response
from
the president.
Fake tweet from McDonald's.
No. But, you know, you have to know that would be the stupidest thing McDonald's would do is to bash the countless free advertising that they would get from arguably the most
powerful
man. Because
he could go eat at Wendy's. Yeah.
And he would if they bashed him.
Yeah.
He would change, and it's a, you know, something. But anyway.
But by the way, I did want to mention that Tom Perez is now the DNC chair.
Mm-hmm. Not yet a household name.
Not yet a household name.
But let him—
It is after being heard on this program, though.
Well, yeah, we have racist visibility.
Yes.
Here, so who is he? What's his?
Well, he's says he's a Democratic Party politician, consumer advocate, civil rights lawyer, but he was also Secretary of Labor from 2013 to 2017.
He was endorsed by both Hillary Clinton and President Obama.
Oh, he was?
Going into this DNC election.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What about Bernie Sanders? Did he endorse him?
No, he
endorsed Keith Ellison.
He did?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Bernie comes in second again. Wow. you know, he's getting on up there to keep finishing.
It was the Russians.
Being the bridesmaid.
It was the Russians.
Everything is the Russians. This next story is brought to you by the Russians. Okay. Now, I know you guys have been anxiously awaiting this ever since the conclusion of the last Super Bowl. So you can finally rest easy. You can go to sleep tonight comfortably knowing that Tom Brady's stolen Super Bowl jerseys have been found.
Yes. One of which we didn't even know had been stolen. From a previous Super Bowl.
What happened here? Refresh my memory.
Oh, go ahead.
So he comes back to the locker room after, you know, because they leave the field. They throw on the I'm a Champion t-shirt and hats now that have been pre-printed for both teams. But they throw on all the gear and then they come out and the crowd's cheering and they pop the champagne bottles and they get the giant glass trophy, the Lombardi trophy. And apparently during that time, someone had snuck into the Patriots locker room and made off with the jersey that Tom Brady had been wearing. And he comes back and he finds that his jersey is missing, and he was not very happy about it. But apparently it has been found. This was a joint investigation. The FBI got involved in this, probably just because of the dollar amount for how much this jersey would be worth if you were to resell it. But apparently they were found in Mexico, and they had been stolen by an unidentified member of the international media. So a member of the press had snuck in to the Brady locker room and stolen the Patriots locker room and stolen Tom Brady, showing yet again that the rest of the world has problems with the mainstream media's honesty, just like we do here.
Well, and I do want to make the observation that now that it has been found, rather than this individual being able to sell the jersey, that price is probably going to be deflated. So I thought I'd throw in a deflate-gate joke.
I'll give Ed a courtesy laugh there.
You got to come on.
Yeah,
the price is deflated.
Yeah,
Tom Brady's jersey.
First mauve, then deflated.
Deflated, okay.
Actually,
so,
I looked it up. That color's not mauve. So let's get off that.
Is there anything this FBI, man can't do?
The FBI giving resources to looking for a football jersey?
That may be classified as a waste of taxpayer dollars.
I don't think so.
Could be.
You know, I don't know. Doesn't strike me as something.
Trump might have said because Tom Brady endorsed at least was friendly towards Trump when he was running for president. Mm-hmm. Maybe Trump told the FBI, "Help my buddy out.
Yeah.
Find his jersey."
By the way,
I'm sure that's exactly what happened. Ed.
What is this? May not be on your list of topics to cover, Jeremy, but needs to be what I'm about to talk about. What is the deal with the Secret Service not being able to stop people from scaling the fences at the White House?
Yeah.
This has been going on.
This last guy was on site for 15 minutes or
17
something.
17 minutes.
How is that possible?
This gentleman jumped. He jumped the fence on the South Lawn. For those familiar with the White House, the South Lawn is much bigger, spacious.
He jumped the fence on the South Lawn? That's
South
a good
lawn.
Probably 300 yards from the White House.
Right. He jumped the fence on the South Lawn. Typically, they jump it on the north lawn where it's like 100 yards of the front door.
Right.
They jumped it on the like,
Typically.
Well, it just
sounds
becoming
funny.
A frequent.
I know. You're right. No, you're right.
So
it just sounds funny. Typically, when they when they scale the White House fences, they go this way.
Typically, it's 100 yards. Right, yeah. Sometimes it's not 100
yards.
So
he jumped three barriers or three fences on the south lawn, made it. He was on the property, as they had said, for about 15 minutes and made it to the south portico door. And he was hiding behind a column, looking in windows, before an agent saw him.
Unbelievable.
That is crazy.
I always thought that there were electronic
sensors
along the fences to detect whether somebody, if you would think there would be enough eyeballs watching out with the Secret Service to protect the White House. And certainly you would think that they would have electronic
How about
sensors.
Spotters on the roof?
I was just going to say, is there not snipers and spotters
yes, they
on
have
the
them.
Roof?
Yeah. They have, so, you go to the White House anytime, you can probably see guys walking around on top
of it. Some of them must have been watching March Madness up there
on their
iPad.
Or he was eating McDonald's.
But that's a serious, this is a serious problem.
What if he had a bomb?
Yeah. He did have two cans of mace.
With
which
him?
Which are like pepper spray. He had two cans in his backpack.
But I'm saying we've read about this has happened three or four times in the last two or three years. True?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, to scale that fence there, if you've been to the White House, like Walker's talking, last time I went was to September. They had moved barricades out probably 10 feet from the actual fence. Mm-hmm. Now, this was on the north side. By barricades, I mean
it's like a concrete. Bike rack. They call it a bike rack.
A bike rack, a physical impediment. Oh, okay. I mean, you could jump over it if you wanted to, but if you jumped over it, you would be seen immediately by the Secret Service.
Well, there's no concrete barriers? I mean, what if someone drives a vehicle?
Oh, yeah, there is. There is to prevent you from going on the street near the White House. That's been blocked off since the Clinton years. But I'm just talking about you have to jump over this bike rack, as you say, and then you would become obvious. Now, he didn't do this on the north side.
The bike rack serves as a buffer between you and the physical fence to jump. And so they put that bike rack there.
But
To give the Secret Service a couple seconds to respond.
But I was a little bit annoyed. Having taken groups to Washington, D.C. many times, I'm getting a little annoyed at the public having to be pushed back away from the White House even more because the Secret Service can't do their job.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You should be able to seize on someone that scale. It would take you 30 seconds at least, and I'm talking about for a real athletic person, to scale the fence. So you would think they would be on him like that. Now, you're talking about a guy going over on the north, on the south lawn
right.
Fence, but he got all the way up to the White House itself.
He was looking in windows.
Yeah, well, he did that. And remember last year under President Obama, a man entered the White House.
Yeah.
An intruder entered the White House and was in the executive room.
Does nobody get fired for this?
Well, I don't know, but as somebody jumping over a fence like that, Secret Service, it should be like fire ants down in the South.
Yeah.
They should be swarming out, guns drawn,
dogs,
get on the ground, or you're dead.
I mean, how does that not happen?
Well, I think there's a huge, serious problem going on with the Secret Service, and it's got to go all the way up to the top. I mean, because we remember several years ago, we had the Secret Service members in Mexico and with the prostitutes. And then we've had several Secret Service members at the beginning of President Trump's term saying just flat out they're not going to protect him. That sounds
like the best hire they could do.
She get fired?
And then also,
I think so.
didn't they just say that a Secret Service member got fired the other day for theft?
Well, no, he was in New York and his laptop was stolen. In New York, he was at a hotel staying. He was on duty.
A Secret Service agent?
Secret Service agent left his laptop in the front seat of his car, and it had security detail plans for Trump Tower.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
And the laptop was stolen along with like a radio or something. And so you've got serious problems.
Oh, you mean everything you need to carry out a potential terrorist attack?
This is the Keystone Cops, it sounds like. Yeah. This is the United States Secret Service.
Barney Fife could do a better job at this point.
I know there are rules of engagement for law enforcement, and you have to be very careful because I view the rules of engagement immediately intensify when you have someone breach the White House perimeter.
No, you shoot to kill.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And so you start. They start tackling. I mean, why are you tackling guys?
Right.
The guy's going for the president.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And what happens is, to me, this emboldens nutcases and assassins and terrorists. Can you imagine if a guy with a bomb?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, with an explosive vest gets into the White House and detonates?
Yeah,
and now they're all watching.
That could have happened.
Of course, it could.
In this situation and the other, that could have happened. What if he had been carrying a backpack?
Well, the pressure cooker bomb,
full of explosives.
Yeah. They did at Boston.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And also, what happens when you have more than one individual jump the fence? What happens if you have 20, 30, 40 guys?
That's a good point, Walker. If they can't stop one,
right?
And you had let's say a team of Al Qaeda or ISIS come in. And they said, hey, 100 guys, we're all scaling, and these guys don't care.
Right.
Right. No, they, just made, they made a movie out about that. They made two movies about that just like a couple of years ago.
Olympus Has Fallen.
And White House Down or, yeah. or yeah. something. But I'm just surprised about that.
I'm just surprised that nobody is fired.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have been.
Well, wasn't the one at, under the Obama administration? Didn't that individual get to the staircase?
Yes.
He went inside.
He could have gone up into the residence.
Yeah.
Wasn't
yeah.
It, am I,
how do you feel if you're President Obama and now if you if you're President Trump, how confident can you feel that your family is protected?
Well,
when they can't stop one guy.
When the when yeah. the fellow a lot of times this will happen when the president's out of town and so people are like, oh, you know, not a big deal. But the one where he was in the South Portico last week, the president was in the residence. He was in his bedroom. And so you know, you can
oh,
argue that it's not a big as big of a deal. Maybe the security's laxed when the president's out of town. But when you have the president there, you're supposed to be on your, you know, your top yeah. level security.
Well, no, if you're the Secret Service, you got one job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, too, plus the President Trump has reopened visitations to the White House. So you'd think that because of the fact that the general public is going to be strolling through the White House, they would have upped their game already. But apparently yeah. that's not the case.
Jason, this is according to CBS. Jason, Representative Jason Chaffetz says White House intruder was able to, quote, rattle the door handle on the South Portico. So he was trying to get in.
Oh, my goodness.
He got so, close enough to the residency.
So
to
we spend millions of dollars on the Secret Service every year, but a $5 quick set lock stopped a potential intruder.
Right.
Yeah.
You're correct.
Yep.
Yeah,
but that's insane.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you wouldn't think that, that there's any possibility of that happening. Like you're saying, Ed, a guy starts to scale the fence at the White House, there should be 10 guys on him immediately.
Yeah, and if you they don't, just need to send some Mississippi farmers up there and electrify that fence because they do a great job of keeping cattle
yeah,
in place down
true.
Here. Just put some prods on there
well,
and send 50,000
really
bolts
me
through.
What Walker said, what about a team? Of trained people
right.
rushing the White House.
Right. They drive up in five vans.
Yeah, you know, they
come
they
at
throw
you in all different directions.
They throw something in front of the fence right. and they jump over. You, right. you don't have to scale
imagine,
it.
Imagine okay. Well people say, well, you're talking Hollywood movie material. No, we're not. If what we that would be a Hollywood movie. I'm just saying we're not talking about it's so far fetched that it would have to be a movie. If one guy can wiggle the handle on the door before he's captured or stopped, yeah. Then your scenario, Ed, could happen very easily.
Hey, aliens coming down and getting in the White House, that's a Hollywood movie.
Right.
What we're talking about is not beyond the
imagine
realm
if they
of
did,
possibility.
Imagine if they if something like that did happen and they did seize the White House.
Yeah.
And I mean,
or
I don't,
kill the president.
It just seems to me like this should be a bigger story than it has been the last few days.
Well, the media, the media doesn't care about. They're not gonna ask for more protection for the president.
Well, didn't
they just
that
don't care
who,
about this?
That
issue.
Guy who was flying the drone over the White House was this last year or the year before, and the drone crashed on the lawn. They interviewed him on the news while he was waiting to go to trial, and they painted him out to be some kind of free speech advocate and some kind of hero. So don't expect the media to do their job and tell the story.
As my dad used to say, the country's cracking up. It's cracking up.
All right, we're going to take a time out to learn what mauve really is. I think it's sort of it's a tan, isn't it?
No, I think I looked it up. Mauve is closer to the pink.
Is it the
it's
pink family?
Darker pink, I think.
The darker pink yeah. family.
That might be closer to taupe.
Okay.
That's right. Taupe.
We will be back after this short break. We got a news timeout here, and then we will return with more of today's issues. Thank you, Jeremy. When is your show on?
Saturday morning, 6 a.m. Central Time. Podcast available, AFR.net.
What's the name of it?
In the Trenches with Jeremy Wiggins.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.